Hazel's going to bring us our first reading, which is from Psalm 23. Psalm 23.
Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
If you'd like to turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7, and beginning at verse 15, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. A tree and its fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. I'm not just saying this, but Jenny and I always find it a joy to come and worship with you. Though we worship at St. Thomas's, where even at the early morning service you can have gatherings of up to maybe 80 or 90. We, all through my ministry, we were in small churches. For example, in the first Sunday in August, I'll be at the Baptist Church in Kirby Stephen, whose membership is 13, and on a good Sunday they may have 15, 16. The last time I was there, we had a congregation round about that. They have an excellent musician, and I can honestly say, we can honestly say, the singing was so wonderful, we thought the angels had come. Really, it was wonderful. It didn't matter about the numbers, but people's hearts were in the singing. So it doesn't matter the number, whether it's 15, 20 or 200, if people's hearts are right with God, that's the important thing, isn't it? Now, you may wonder why didn't I choose the reading to go on to not everyone who says Lord, Lord, and many will say Lord, Lord, and prophesy in your name. You will notice that that is a different paragraph. And in fact, in the New Living Translation, there is actually a different heading at that point. And the reason for this is, I believe, that there is a different emphasis, because the Lord moves from the specific to the general. He moves from a specific definition of some people to everybody. Okay? So we're going to think of the specific together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. And thank you, in your word we hear the voice of Jesus, the word of God, He who came in the flesh, our Saviour and our Shepherd. May we hear his voice again this morning in his precious name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, said the shepherd and psalmist David. And Jesus took this title for himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now keep that thought in your mind and close to your heart as we consider what he says to us. He is always on the lookout for any danger to his sheep. And that's you and me, if you know the Lord Jesus. Can I ask you, do you really know the Lord Jesus this morning? Could it be there's someone here this morning who doesn't know the shepherd? Well, what better time to come to know him? The shepherd who loves so much that he died upon the cross to bear away our shame and our sin, who died in our place. What greater love had anyone than he who laid down his life for the sake of the unworthy? If you don't know him, now is the time to come and lay your all at his feet and trust him and come to know him for yourself. In Jesus' day, there were those like the religious extremists who laid heavy burdens upon the people. By contrast, Jesus said that his burdens were light and his loads easy to bear. There were others who pretended to be all sweetness and light, but their design was to lead the people astray. They came like sheep, but were wolves in sheep's clothing. Harmless sheep and vicious wolves. You would think we would know the difference, but these wolves came in disguise. They are pretend sheep. They come with apparent kindness and smooth talk, but with alternative motive. In the prophet Jeremiah's day, there were prophets who said all was well. Peace, peace, they gave out to the people. But that was not the reality of the situation. God said through Jeremiah, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 6 and 13. Jeremiah went on to counsel them. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. There is a way that you can trust and rely upon. It is well tried and true. Make sure that you're walking on that way. Now we know as Christians there is a way that is sure. It is the biblical way. It is the way of prayer. It is the way that we can trust. It's the way of Jesus. And when we're uncertain, then we need to return to the old paths, the way that gives us confidence. Dr. James Packer, that eminent, now elderly Anglican theologian, what a loss he was to our country. What a great shame. He went to Canada. He's now well into his 80s. I think he might still stagger up to Regent's College and give a lecture now and again. But what a loss he was to our country, really. A great eminent theologian. I paraphrase his words because I can't remember them exactly. He said, you can be so open-minded that you swallow any load of rubbish. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, In reference to the gift of prophecy, the Apostle Paul says, he gives ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. I quote the New Living Translation, which is very helpful in its paraphrase. He gives the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Now many pray and yearn from the extrovert gifts of tongues, healing and prophecy, but not many queues up for the gift of discernment. Quite a number of years ago, someone wrote a book called The Neglected Gift of Discernment, and how important that book was. It is a neglected gift in the church of our Lord. Now, naivety is not a sin, but can be sadly a great failure in God's people. How we need to be people steeped in God's word and soaked in prayer. Jesus warned of the last days, which, by the way, is the time which is between his coming and the return when he comes again in glory. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus said, "For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible." The earliest New Testament epistle is Galatians. It was written by Paul to deal with falsehood in the church. Some had come amongst them saying that they needed to observe Jewish religious practices to be truly Christian. And if you know that epistle, Paul almost comes against that teaching like an atomic bomb, because he knew it was a threatening not only the Gentile church, but the very heart of the gospel, which is that we come to know Jesus by faith alone, not by works. And it was undermining the gospel, the very heart of the gospel. And sadly, even the Apostle Peter was for a while persuaded by this deviation from the truth. You'll recognise these false ones by seeing the effect of their teaching and their way of life, said Jesus. Matthew 7 and verse 17, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." This word from Jesus comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There Jesus searches our hearts. If you want to know what true Christianity looks like, you need to study the Sermon on the Mount. That is the acid test of what true Christianity is really about, the heart of it, and how it is expressed in a living experience. He brings us to the touchstone of true Christian living and experience. It begins with the Beatitudes, which humbles us before God and shows us the true blessing of real Christian experience. And knowing this, we'll live in this world as salt and light. Our understanding of God's reign in our lives will affect the motives of our hearts at home and amongst our neighbours. Wherever we live, we will seek to be non-judgmental, but loving and kind. Prayer will have priority in our lives, and we will view our finances and property the way God wants us to do. How about that? That's in the Sermon on the Mount. So different is the Christian way from that of the false prophet and the wayward and sinful. By the fruit of our living it is revealed. Now, not only is the false prophet's life false, his ministry is fake. Now, sadly, the unrepentant false prophet is in danger. He or she has a sorry end, said Jesus. And Peter also warning against false prophets. In his second epistle, chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "But there were also false prophets amongst the people, just as there will be false teachers amongst you." He's referring to Old Testament times. "But also it's happening in our days," says Peter. "They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." So Jesus says, back to Matthew 7, verse 19, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." In other words, false prophets deserve judgment, God's judgment. "Watch out, there's a thief about." That was an old slogan, way back in the 1980s. Some of you might remember it, some of you won't. Anyway, that was a slogan. In those days, we were in Sussex, and there was a very fine pastor called Ray Geale. He was also a children's evangelist. And he used to have these huge visual aids. He had a big board. We called it a magnetic board. The board wasn't magnetic, but his visual aids were magnetic. And one of his visual aids was, he used to put up a big house. And he would speak about how your house could be vulnerable. So you could have windows that were open. Or you could have windows that didn't have safety catches in. You could have poor locks on your door. You could have garages that were unlocked. And he spoke about various different vulnerable parts of your house. And having described all this, he used the house as an illustration of your life and how that Satan could attack your life. "Watch out, there's a thief about, and your life is in danger from Satan." And he used that house as an illustration of it. Well, I want to say this morning, look out, there are false prophets about. When I was ministering in Sussex also, we had quite a number of house-bound people. And I went one day to visit an elderly lady. And that means she was, at the time, she was a bit older than I am. And she was housebound, sadly. Christian, dear Christian lady. I was quite surprised visiting and chatting to her one day, and she'd be listening to a Christian radio broadcast. This was the day before Sky, God channels and all the rest of it. And she'd be listening to this TV evangelist, who told her that if she sent, I think it was £5 or £10, he would send her a little vial of oil which he had prayed over. And if she anointed herself with this oil, she could be healed. Well, you know, she spent her money. And she sent for this vial of oil to anoint herself. But she was no better. "Watch out, there's a thief about." I'm very sorry, I won't mention the evangelist, deliberately not. "Watch out, there are false prophets about." We at times fail to recognise we are surrounded by spiritual danger on every hand. The devil uses every trick up his sleeve to bring us down, to confuse us. You know, he delights to confuse God's people, to hinder our progress, to cause us to fail or to sin. Jesus knew this better than we do. Don't be surprised, Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. You have to admit that, brothers and sisters. One of the biggest failings we have is pride. One of the biggest sins in our life is pride. That we know. We get caught sure. We think, oh, we're so good, we're so confident. Humility is an important grace, isn't it? It's important to realise we need the Lord every turn of our life. Watch out, there are false prophets about, the devil's about, at every turn in our life. And Jesus knows that. And that's why he gave this warning. He loved you so much, and he cares for you so much. And he was also so mindful of his disciples listening to him that day. They would soon have to deal with many an onslaught upon the infant church, his church. When you're unsure of the way, you can always look to the one who has gone before you, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. When you're not sure, you can look to your Lord. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verses 1 and 2, it begins by saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What's he referring to? He's referring back to chapter 11. That's why the therefore is therefore. It's referring back to chapter 11. What is chapter 11? Begins with Abraham. And he mentions countless Old Testament saints. And many people who are not mentioned. Who are they? People of faith. People who had faith in God. And people who lived by faith. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders us and every sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on who? What's the answer? Who do we fix? It's not a rhetorical question.
Jesus.
Who do we fix our eyes on?
Jesus.
Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the...
cross.
I can't hear you.
Cross.
Endured the cross. Scorning its shame. I think the authorised version says, despising the shame. And is sat down. Glorious triumph. He sat down. Remember in the Old Testament priest in the temple. He never sat down. Why? Because he was forever making sacrifices. He had to make them repeatedly. But Jesus, the perfect high priest, sat down because his work was finished. He made a once and for all and complete finished sacrifice. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we're looking to. When you're confused, when you're upset, when you're bewildered, when you don't know where to turn, look to Jesus. That's where your confidence lies. That's where your comfort lies. That's where your assurance is to be found. Looking to Jesus. Now Chris knows I struggled to find a hymn. We do have one at the end. Now, Mission Praise is excellent, but quite frankly, it was never designed as a hymn book originally. And I have to confess, I'm such an old fella. I go back to some old hymns. They're not in Mission Praise. But there's this old hymn, I'll quote it. Some of you who are over a certain age may remember it. Christian, seek not yet repose. Cast thy dreams of ease away. Thou art in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. You remember it? Anyone remember it? You're shaking your head. Where have you been? Where have you been? Principalities and powers, mustering their unseen array, wait for thine unguarded hours. Watch and pray. Gird thy heavenly armour on, wear it ever night and day. Ambushed lies the evil one. Watch and pray. Hear the victors who o'ercame, still they mark each warrior's way. All with one sweet voice exclaim, watch and pray. Here above all, hear thy Lord, him who loves, him thou lovest to obey. Hide within thy heart his word. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that help may be set down. Watch and pray. Heavenly Father, give us courage. Help us to look ever to Jesus. Help us never to take anything for granted. Help us not to be thick Christians. Help us not to be naive Christians, gullible Christians. Help us not to be sucked into error, confusion. Help us to be biblical Christians, praying Christians. Help us to ever look to Jesus, for he will carry us through. We pray in his precious name. Amen.